Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18. 2 Timothy 3:15. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:15. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you, and you will have only to be silent. Exodus 14:14. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Romans chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Romans chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today, realizing, as always, the importance of being in harmony with our Lord as we study His Word. God has given to us many wonderful privileges in this life. And, of course, one of those is to be in fellowship with Him and to be perceptive to His Word. And that's our reason for being here again today. As all of you realize, we've been studying the subject of the Holy Spirit. And today we're looking, as you can see in the bulletin, the subject this morning in the first service is the Holy Spirit's power in resisting temptation, Romans 6, 7, and 8. The second session today is a prospering soul, taken from 3 John chapter 4. And then on Wednesday night, we'll be looking at the subject, God's righteousness makes an edifice possible. And so we have our sessions all cut out for us. A lot of good information from the wonderful Word of God. We spend a moment now in prayer before we begin our scripture reading. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the wonderful blessings that you give us every single day. We rejoice in the fact that we are your children, saved by grace. Heaven is our eternal home. We have been blessed tremendously in so many magnificent and wonderful ways. We're the recipients of grace in salvation, grace by which to live each day, and the grace that one day will take us home. We thank you for every wonderful blessing, and we pray that you will guide us in these moments of study today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's always amazing to me how people tell me things. I glanced down at the clock and I saw a calendar. And so someone has left me a calendar today saying Roy's new sermon clock. So thank you, whoever did this. I'm not preaching by the hour. I'm not preaching by the minute. I'm not preaching by the second. I'm preaching by the calendar. Who did this? I'm not going to ask. That's okay. Very good. Would you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6? Our verses today are verses 7 and 8. We're going to begin our reading with verse 1. If you will, please open your Bibles and let's begin our reading with Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Verse 7, for he who has died is freed from sin. Verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. On the screen, you're now going to see these verses, Romans 6, 7, and 8, from the original text. We'll analyze this for just a few moments before we move into our discussion. Verse 7 says, "For the one having died has been justified from sin." In this magnificent passage of Scripture, we have an emphasis upon what is known as the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. You will look in your bulletin today and you will see that there is an insert there. The insert is dealing with the human spirit and has to do with the fact that the human spirit is distinguished from the human soul. We'll not ask you to read all this information while I'm preaching this morning, but I want you to see that there's information here that is fantastic, and you need to take this home with you and look at it and study it. The second point is the unbeliever does not have a human spirit. This is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, which says, "The natural man, the psychikos, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness." And you'll see that there is the Greek word M-O-R-I-A, or the Greek word moruna, which is the word moron, unto him. Neither can he know, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, when you go to Jude, the 19th verse, it says, "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." The human spirit is distinguished, as you can see, from the human soul. The unbeliever does not have a human spirit. The unbeliever is dichotomous, body and soul, but not body, soul, and spirit. And then number three, since the unbeliever does not possess a human spirit, God the Holy Spirit must act as a human spirit in the presentation of the gospel. We've emphasized that in the past, so we will not reiterate that at this moment. Turn the page and you will notice that on number four, the believer is trichotomous. And this is the reason why we find in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonian believers, said, "I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." All of us are aware of the fact that the believer is body, soul, and spirit. We're going to be analyzing that. Number five, the human spirit is both the target and the storage area for biblical information. Under the concept of the Greek word epinosis, we've analyzed this many times, and so we have an emphasis here upon the application in daily living, the constructing of the spiritual house of the soul, occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Number six, spiritual IQ of the believer is determined by the amount of God's word that is taken into the human spirit. And that's presented to us in Job 32:8. Number seven, the grace system only functions when the believer is filled by the Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 2:13. Number eight, you will notice that truth residing in the human spirit is the basis for spiritual IQ. Now, I'd like for you at the beginning of our session today to take down some interesting statements. Number one, we'll come back to this verse and exegete it more clearly in a moment. No one ever sins apart from his own human consent. It's very important that you be aware of the fact that if you choose to disobey God, you choose to sin. You do this as a result of your own choice, your own volition. You may want to copy this statement down. No one ever sins apart from his own human consent. When temptation comes our way, temptation within itself is not the sin. The temptation comes and we make a decision whether or not we're going to obey and respond properly to that temptation, or if we're going to refuse and reject that temptation. If, while we are in fellowship with our Lord, inside the divine power sphere, and the temptation comes, and we make a decision that we're going to yield ourselves to that temptation, then immediately we're taken outside of the plan of God, outside of the divine power sphere, and we move outside, and we find ourselves out of harmony and out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That simply means at that point of time, we're not under the control of the Holy Spirit. We're not under the control of the Word of God. We're under the control of our old sinful nature. So no one ever sins apart from his own, her own human consent. The second statement that you see on the screen is, only when volition passes temptation into the soul does the old sin nature control the soul, and the individual enters what we call the cosmic, the satanic system. It's important for you to analyze those words in statement number two that's on the screen now. Only when volition, choice, passes temptation into the soul does the old sin nature control the soul, and the individual enters into that satanic system out of harmony, out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust you have that statement down. We move to the third statement. The believer is only honorable and free from sin inside the divine power sphere. We've analyzed many times that magnificent power sphere. And so the believer is only honorable and free from sin inside the divine power sphere. What is amazing to me is the Apostle Paul is writing the Roman believers. And if you'll notice again in verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? Some were of the opinion that if you sin and grace abounds, the more you sin, the more grace you get. And so the emphasis there would be to sin more and you'll get more grace. Now, you can see that people will twist the scripture and they will twist God's plan and make it say whatever they want to say. But the next verse says, may it never be. You will notice that. How shall we who died to sin live continually in it? Now, in chapter 6, verse 3, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? This is a very powerful verse of scripture, and I want you to see that many people take this verse of scripture and they misapply and they misuse it entirely. This is not an emphasis upon anything that has to do with water. This has to do with a dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why it says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Most of us are aware of the fact that in the eternal ages past, deity 1, 2, and 3 realized your need and my need. All of us realize that deity 1, the Father, deity 2, the pre-existent Christ, and deity 3, the Holy Spirit, I believe, had a conversation in the eternal ages past. And they, as they looked down upon mankind, as they looked down upon you and me, they saw our depravity, they saw our disobedience, they saw our sin. And they saw that something needed to take place to make it possible for unsaved, depraved individuals to be redeemed. And so deity 2, I believe, in essence, said to deity 1, who is the pre-existent Christ, I will leave heaven's glory and go to the earth and become the existent Christ on the earth, God in the flesh, and I'll go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. That's the death that this is talking about here. Notice, if you will, please. Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death? You ought to underline that. Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. There's absolutely no way for us to have victory and triumph in this life if we're depending upon ourselves for that triumph and for that victory. When I think in terms of what I want to emphasize today, I want to show you some things that have been very important in my thinking. I have analyzed this. I've done some writing. I've done some drawing. We have spent several days, in, as you probably know, taking our granddaughter back to Trinity University. And I even drew this out on a little napkin, and she's going to do some things for me. But we came back home, and Joyce decided that she would help me, and I'm glad she did, because we want to emphasize today what you need to understand about the trichotomy of mankind. What we're going to do, first of all, is to put something very simple on the screen, and that is that there's an emphasis in the Scripture on the fact that you and I, as born-again believers, are trichotomous individuals, which simply means that we are body, soul, and spirit. So I'll just put all this on the screen for you to see, and we'll analyze it as we move along. Most of you by now, after hearing me preach for 40-some-odd years, are aware of the fact that we've emphasized this many times. As born-again believers, we are body, soul, and spirit. The body brought you and me in here today. As a born-again believer, we are soul and also spirit. The soul is that part of us which has the ability to understand, comprehend those things in the realm of the physical. The spirit is that part of us which has the ability to comprehend, understand, and appreciate those things in the realm of the spiritual. Now, what I want you to do today, I want you to turn in your Old Testament, go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we're going to be looking at some verses of Scripture. First of all, I would like for you to go to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 15, 16, and 17. So if you'll open your Bibles to the Old Testament, let's look and see what's happening here. Then the Lord took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "From the tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, dying, you shall die." Now, all of us are aware of the fact that Satan has had his way, and many times the old sin nature, as all of us know, is that controlling factor. And we need to point out the fact that the old sin nature is Satan's inside agent for producing temptation, as I said earlier, which includes the sins of cognizance, the sins of ignorance, the sins of human good, or the sins of evil. The old sin nature, as all of us know, resides in the human body and is the source of all temptation. Not sin, but the source of temptation. As I've said many times, I repeat this morning that the volition, free will, faces daily temptation from the old sin nature. Therefore, the volition guards the soul. I pause for a moment to let you see how important that statement is. I said to you, and I just now am going to repeat, volition, your choice, guards your soul. Your free will faces daily temptation from the old sin nature, and we must know that your volition, your choice, guards your soul. The objective then of the old sin nature is to control the soul. The old sin nature is constantly throwing up temptation and cannot control without your choice, your volition, and your permission. When temptation reaches the gate, the door of the soul, if volition says no, then the old sin nature is defeated. But if the volition says pass on through, then the temptation becomes the sin. The origin of sin, as all of us know, has always been human volition. The first sin, which we are now dealing with, the partaking of the forbidden fruit, was a sin of volition. The woman looked at the fruit, longed for the fruit, laid hold on the fruit, and lost her relationship with God. Volition did it. When I was typing this out in capital letters, I raised it up where you could see it. Well, not where you can see it, but where I can see it and tell you what I'm reading. Volition did it. The old sin nature is the source of temptation, but not the source of sin. I realize that sometimes I say things very rapidly, and sometimes I'm aware of the fact as I say things rapidly, you may get it, you may not. I've just given you a page of wonderful information. I'm trying to now make it so plain and so simple. Now, if you will continue to look at the Scripture that we're finding in the third chapter of the book of Genesis now. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Look, if you will, at Genesis chapter 3, now verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat. Now, I know that translators have put in, nor touch it, but it's not there. So don't touch what's not there to be touched. Okay, number verse 4. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6 of chapter 3 of Genesis, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave unto her husband with her, and he ate. Now, I want you to see that in the garden, we have these individuals, body, soul, and spirit. But what happens when they chose to disobey? Take a look at this. Here's what happens. Now, something about them died. It was not their body that died, because they lived about 930 more years. It was not their soul, because their soul is eternal. But what is it that died? In other words, they moved from trichotomy to dichotomy. All of you have seen this many, many times, and so you're aware of the fact that the depravity of mankind is revealed very vividly here. And I'm here to express to you the fact that there are some things that you and I must realize immediately upon them realizing that they were uncovered spiritually. Thinking that they were uncovered not only spiritually but physically, they tried to do something about it from a physical standpoint. And they, as you all know, took the fig leaves and they tried to cover up their physical nakedness, which they could not cover up. That's human efforts there, you can see. And so what happened? Most of us are aware of the fact that an innocent animal was slain, and God prepared for them. The Hebrew shows that they had for themselves a belt, the Hebrew word. But what God did was an innocent animal was slain, and a complete covering was provided. So I want you to see that when this complete covering was provided and they accepted that complete covering, they moved back from dichotomy to trichotomy. But I want you to see what's happening here. We tried to do this, and Joyce came up with the idea, and I thought it was pretty good. We were talking about how we should show that an individual, after Adam and Eve accepted God's plan, what did they have? They had trichotomy, but they also were continuing now with the old sinful nature. So mankind, all of us know, you were born physically alive and spiritually dead. How many thousands of times have I said that? I'm trying to let you see that this is a wonderful way that we can present to you the fact that you and I are born again believers because we've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. We have body, soul, and spirit. The body moves us around. The body is the house, the temple, and the soul is that which comprehends physical phenomena. The spirit, that which comprehends spiritual phenomena. But we still have a problem, and our problem is that we have an old sinful nature. That's what we're studying today, the old sinful nature. Now, I thought my wife came up with a good idea. I don't know how you can apply all of this, but I want you to understand that you and I, on a daily basis, make a decision whether the old sin nature is going to be in charge, or whether Jesus Christ and the Word of God will be in charge. It is possible, don't smile, don't laugh when you see this, but she came up with this idea, and this is what could happen to you. In other words, what she's saying, and I thought this was great. In other words, what this is saying is that if you and I are not careful, we can allow the old sin nature to affect every aspect of our lives, the body, the soul, and the spirit. Now, with that little introduction, let's begin, because I knew that you would be ready to receive this information. We have to understand that the Holy Spirit has given us the means by which we can resist the power of the old sinful nature. Let me say that again. God has given us the means by which, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can resist the temptation of the old sinful nature. We have to understand the old sinful nature. Number one, understand the old sinful nature. Number one, the nature is within all believers, and this nature is within all unbelievers. You cannot leave here without understanding that every individual born is born physically alive and spiritually dead. So we have to understand the sinful nature. This nature is within all individuals, believers, unbelievers. Number two, that which produces disobedience is the old sin nature. That which produces disobedience is the old sin nature. Number three, the old sin nature is the home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. Now, what I'm not getting into now is an emphasis upon Romans 8:28, and we know that scripture by heart. We memorized it years ago, but there's an emphasis in Romans 8:28 of how God works the miracle of transformation in the lives of individuals. The old sin nature is the home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. And we talked about this many times in the past. We probably will reiterate this information again in the future. Number four, the nature is inherited from Adam. And that's found in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, where it says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So you have Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and then our verses for today, Romans chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Also Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 19. Let me let you look over these points. We have to understand the old sinful nature. This is the nature that is in every individual. It is the nature that produces disobedience. The old sin nature is the home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. Number four, the nature is inherited from Adam. That's the reason why we realize that the Lord Jesus Christ did not have a sinful nature, because the sinful nature is passed down from the daddy to the child and not from the mother to the child. Had the old sin nature been passed from the mother to the child, then Mary would have transferred the old sinful nature to Jesus, and Jesus would have never been qualified to die for the sins of the world. So the old sin nature was not passed down to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was virgin conceived and virgin born. All of us have heard that thousands of times, and I believe it is settled into our thinking. So we do not sin personally, number five, to get an old sin nature. We sin because we have an old sin nature. Let me let you have time to copy number five. We do not sin personally to get an old sin nature. We sin because we have an old sin nature. As we already studied, human life is imputed to the soul at birth, and Adam's original sin is imputed at birth to the old sin nature. We could take time to go into the discussion on that. That is just a quick, brief statement in relationship to human life, imputed to the soul at birth, Adam's original sin imputed at birth to the old sinful nature. We'll study that more in detail later. Now let's spend a few moments looking at the Adam's soul. We're going to look at Adam's soul before the fall, and we're going to look at Adam's soul after the fall. Let's think, first of all, about the soul. Your soul is that part of you that has awareness, mentality, emotion, choice, and conscience. The real you is not your body that brought you in here. The real you is you as a believer. The real you is your soul and your spirit. And your soul has awareness, mentality, emotion, choice, and conscience. Let's look, if we can, and I know this is small letters, so if you cannot see it, let's just listen carefully. Let's look at Adam before the fall. There was, before the fall, a relationship with God. Before the fall, there was a right attitude. Before the fall, there was emotion, which we call deep appreciation for God and the plan of God. Before the fall in Adam, it was God's way, not Satan's way. Before the fall, we have Adam obeying divine standards. Now, I know that these letters are small, but I'm trying to let you see that we're presenting Adam before the fall, and we're presenting Adam after the fall. After the fall, we discover that Adam is hooked up with evil. We see that he was mentally perplexed. There was discord there. There was warped mental situation. He was distorted. He was making wrong decisions, improper attitudes, improper choices. Now we have seen Adam before the fall. We've seen Adam after the fall. If you remember the diagram a few moments ago, you saw body, soul, and spirit. And you saw the disobedience of mankind, and everything went black, which means that when Adam and Eve sinned, they moved from trichotomy to dichotomy, from trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit, to body and soul. They were dead. It's amazing to see that they were dead without hope and without God in the world. And then when God prepared that magnificent cloak covering for them, they accepted it. They were moved from dichotomy to trichotomy, but they now was the possessor of an old sin nature, and that old sin nature is moved down to every individual, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. You've listened so well so far. Let me go back and let you see some more statements. The nature within all people that produces disobedience is the old sin nature. The old sin nature is the home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. The nature is inherited from Adam. And that's revealed for us very vividly in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Our verses, Romans 6, 7, and 8, we'll come back to that in a few moments. And Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 19. Now, please pay close attention. I'm going to move this. We'll come back to that diagram in a few moments. But I want you to see some summary statements about what you possess, an old sin nature. The old sin nature is Satan's inside agent for producing temptation. We said that a moment ago. I repeat it again. The old sin nature is Satan's inside agent for producing temptation. Sins of cognizance, sins of ignorance, sins of human good, and sins of evil. Are you aware of the fact that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did not die for evil. He died for sin. I say that slowly because I want you to understand that Jesus Christ did not die for human good. Jesus Christ did not die for evil. Jesus Christ died for sin. What is evil? Evil is satanic thinking. How are you and I going to get rid of satanic thinking? Are we going to get rid of satanic thinking by prayer? Of course not. Are we going to get rid of satanic thinking by trying to turn over a new leaf at the beginning of the year? Of course not. We get rid of the satanic thinking by means of having a change of thinking. The change of thinking comes by having God's thinking. So we have to understand that Jesus Christ did not die for evil. Jesus Christ did not die for human good. Jesus Christ died for sin. We accept salvation. We accept forgiveness of sin, and God forgives us. But the only way that you and I can get rid of satanic thinking is to get a different type of thinking. In other words, God's grace can come along and scrape off our sins, but God's grace does not come along and scrape off our satanic thinking. We have to have a different type of thinking. And so I hope that you understand what I'm trying to say here. The old sin nature is Satan's inside agent for producing temptation, sins of cognizance, ignorance, human good or evil. Number two, the old sin nature resides in the human body. You are in a body. You, the real you, is not your body. The real you is your soul and spirit as a believer in Jesus Christ. The old sin nature resides in your human body and is the source of all temptation. Not sin, temptation. The volition, free will, faces daily temptations of the old sin nature, but your choice, your volition, guards your soul. If I don't get anything else over today, I want to get over the fact that you and I can resist temptation by the power of the Spirit of God. It is only by the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God that makes it possible for us to have a victorious, triumphant life. The objective, of course, of the old sin nature is to control the soul. And you and I decide on a daily basis who's going to control our souls. You and I make a decision over and over again, many decisions throughout a day. Are we going to allow the old sin nature to control us? Or are we going to let Jesus Christ and the Word of God control us? Jesus Christ was crucified. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sin. Jesus Christ has done everything to make it possible for us to have a joyful, victorious, triumphant life. We have to accept that. The old sin nature then is constantly throwing up temptation and cannot control without our permission. When the temptation reaches the door, the gate of the soul, if, as I said earlier, if volition says no, then the old sin nature is defeated. But if the old sin nature says, pass on through, yes, then what happens? Then the temptation becomes a sin. Number seven, in the last point, the origin of sin. The origin of sin has always been human choice, human volition. The first sin, we read about it, the partaking of the forbidden fruit was a symbol of volition. The woman looked at the fruit, longed for the fruit, laid hold on the fruit, and when she did, she lost her relationship with God. What was it that did this? Volition, choice. The old sin nature is the source of temptation, but not the source of sin. I'm having such a wonderful time, and I have several more pages of information to give you, but you're listening so well, I think it's time for us to have a break. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful today for the challenge of your wonderful word. We're aware of the fact that we have a responsibility every single day of our lives to make the right decisions, not to be under the control of our sinful natures, but to be under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, utilizing spiritual truths so that we can be victorious and triumphant in life. We're thankful for the fact that the way has been paid for us, that salvation is ours through Jesus Christ, and that the way of an abundant life has been provided for us, because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. For those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to realize how fantastic salvation is. That salvation is a gift from God through Jesus Christ. It's eternal life. It's life to be with our Lord throughout eternity. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Father, we're thankful for that. We're thankful that years ago, as a little junior boy in a Baptist church, we heard the gospel of salvation and we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. But the most important thing there was not that we accepted Him, but that He accepted us. And we're thankful that He did. And upon the authority of the Word of God, we're saved, not because of our goodness, not because of some church ritual, but because He saved us by His grace, and we've accepted what He said He would do. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Me. So we realize that salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone. We pray that there will be those who will trust You even now. And we thank You over and over again for every wonderful blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, You have taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well. My soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. My soul. soul.